Welcome to Geeks of the North, a hobby and gaming podcast in the Dolph of Angus. We're here to paint some miniatures and talk about the hobby, so why don't you sit back, relax, grab a paintbrush, and enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome to Geeks of the North. I'm your host, Paul Fino, here as always with my buddy and co-host, Antoine Bergeron.
Hello!
Hey Antoine, how's it going this week?
Good. We had a long weekend, so it's always better.
That is true. Less days of work with pay equals good. I can get behind this. And that's the show. No. Wow, we actually, I gotta be careful, because when I edit the silence out of the show, that little part won't make any sense. The audience won't know that we sat there for 45 seconds, or you know, whatever it was, and said nothing. So we're actually going to have a little talk this week about a topic that's near and dear to our hearts, and probably any listeners we have, if we have any of those. And it's a little thing by the name of Gamer ADD. For those that don't know, a Gamer ADD is how would you define it? Switching of one game to another nonstop, so you really get nothing accomplished in terms of painting, but you're playing all kinds of different stuff.
Yeah. There's that. And there's the more specific version, which is the faction ADD within a single game.
Oh, yes.
Which you suffer from a lot.
Pardon me. Okay, well, it's not really wrong, but I don't know. I don't think I suffer from it that much.
Well, in our group, you're probably the most glaring example of it. It might not be that bad, but like,
I mean, I do own several factions for many games, but I don't tend to play them all. I just seem to buy them, which is bad for a whole other reason.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I kicked that habit recently. I sold off a bunch of my stuff upon the realization that I would probably have to live four times longer than I'm going to in order to paint it all. That's probably a conservative estimate.
Mm-hmm. And you still have multiple for multiple games.
Yes, this is absolutely true. 40K and...
War Machine.
I was
going to
say 40K and War Machine being the worst. Yeah. Well, because they're bigger scale too, right?
Yeah.
So it's unfair. Technically, I probably have more Guild Ball factions than War Machine factions. Probably.
Maybe now, but you add a lot of War Machine factions.
Well, I have Kador, Signar, Menoth,
Mercs, Circle, Legion of Everblight.
Yeah, and Legion.
That's six. That's the same amount of factions you have as a Guild Ball team.
Yeah, that's true. but a lot of Legion I just inherited. I didn't really pay for it.
Yeah, sure.
So I feel less bad about that. Not that I really feel bad about any of it, but, yeah. You know.
Well, you shouldn't. It was just a mention. But yeah, Gamer ADD.
Yep. Okay, fine. My name is Paul, and I have Gamer ADD.
Chatting about before we started recording, I'm a prime example of the Game ADD part. Maybe not the faction one, but the game for sure.
Oh, that's for sure. Half the games I own, it's because you got the urge to play them, including Guild Ball.
Mm-hmm.
Guild Ball thus far being the one that I regret the least in following you along in. I don't really have any regrets. I shouldn't say that.
No, but it was also one of you. You took the longest to get in, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I don't tend to like sports games,
mm-hmm.
So I was really hesitant about it until I realized that it's not so much a sports game as a miniature war game with a veneer of sports.
Yeah. But we'll continue talking about that after. What have you been doing in the past? And we must mention, it has not been a week between recording. We recorded the last one late, so there's not have been that long since the last recording.
That's true. I guess in terms of hobby, I haven't done much. Right now I'm working on minks for my union team for Guild Ball. This is the last union model I have to paint. And then I have the whole faction painted.
Nice.
Which is
it's pretty a big faction.
Too, that's a big faction. It's a lot of models. And at the time when I started painting it, it was even bigger because the order was still part of the union.
But you also painted the order.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. So, like, if you look at Union, when Season 4 launches, it's going to be 8 models less than what I actually painted.
Yeah. But 4 of those are...
a crossover.
Crossovers, so this still kind of counts.
That's true. That is absolutely true. I wasn't considering that. Yeah, and it was kind of funny because I was looking for references online for this model. Because it's one of the original models for Guild Ball, and details are, I don't want to say, I guess muddy is the best way to say it. They're not necessarily clear, so I was looking for a reference, and I only found 2 references. One is basically the studio piece, and the other one is one painted by Antoine for one of his clients, which I thought was kind of amusing. It makes me think of the time I was painting my my Signar, and I found this great reference for Stormwall online, so I was painting it, only to realize that it was one of my other buddies, Yoms. Right? Yeah. So that made me kind of laugh. Yeah, so painting her, and hopefully I'll get a good chunk of her done tonight. Aside from that, I've been doing a lot of, and I'm going to count this as hobby, a lot of list building and theory crafting for War Machine. Trying to figure out what I want to play. I'm supposed to have a game later this week with a friend of ours, Dan. And I don't want to play my usual lists. Dan is just getting back into the game. So I want to play something that's a little less... I don't want to say a little less good. Maybe a little less competitive. I've been playing Mercenaries as my main faction lately. And for anyone who plays the game, I've been playing a lot of Osram and Magnus 2. And
which are big lists, like powerful.
Yeah. And I haven't played that much War Machine in the last few months.
Right.
Since our gaming club kind of yeah. Since our gaming club kind of collapsed. So I would be kind of rusty anyway. But I just think Ostrom's not necessarily a hard list to play. And Magnus, depending on what the opponent's playing, can be a very kind of frustrating and a negative play experience, I would say. So I want to do something different. So I've been trying to think something fun, like double colossal lists or dwarf spam. You know, two battle engines, Gorton, who's not necessarily a power caster, but he's still decent. With 2 units of Hammer Dwarves and a Colossal or something. Just not necessarily good lists, but they still have decent synergy, and in the right situation, they can do okay. But, I'm not saying it's proving challenging. I'm not really getting very far. Can't decide what I want to play. Typical Paul.
Mm-hmm.
See our previous mention of Gamer ADD. Or Faction ADD. Do I have anything else going on aside from that? Don't think so, in terms of gaming. Some more 3D printing. I think I mentioned last episode that I was 3D printing Guild Ball terrain for that team tournament we have coming up for the prize pool.
Yeah, you did.
So, it's more of that. And, playing games, we've been playing Guild Ball. Played some more Season 4 pre-release games. It's interesting.
I wanted to have one last Friday, but it didn't pan out in the timing.
Well, you were playing Kill Team.
Yeah. I wanted to have a game of both, but...
I don't know what happened. I kind of looked over and you'd started a second game of Kill Team. Or at least I thought it was the second game.
Yeah.
Was it because Steve and I were still playing Guild Ball when you finished Kill Team? Or?
Yeah, and Yom didn't want to play Guild Ball. He was into Kill Team mode, so...
He'd fallen for your seductive ways.
Sure.
You gave him the forbidden fruit and he couldn't resist. I swear to God, these companies should hire you, Antoine. Play a game with Antoine, they said. It'll be fun, they said.
I would be happy too.
Man, I got no idea what the heck I'm looking at. Getting old sucks. My eyes don't work anymore. Let's see. I think that was it. Some Guild Ball.
You didn't get to any other gaming during the week?
No. It just didn't happen. It was one of those weeks. Hopefully this week we get some games in. Like I said, I'm supposed to have that game schedule with our buddy Dan. And then also I'm going to try to go to our regular scheduled gaming night on Wednesday and get a game. Oh, here's hoping.
Yeah. I would love to go Wednesday, but I don't think I'll be able to do. We'll see.
Life has a way of peeing in your Cheerios, so.
Mm-hmm.
So, what about you? What have you been up to?
Not much. I'm sadly out of personal projects right now, so I've not taken any contract or commission for a while, but out of the blue, multiple came out at the same time for people that wanted to do them or special projects, so they're all due around the same deadline. I have to put aside my personal work and work on those. Don't have a choice. That's the life of the part-time commission hobbyist.
Yeah, you guys are my heroes.
You've done it too, so.
Yeah, and I didn't enjoy it.
Yeah, but compared to before, I'm reselecting the projects I want to. Like, I've refused most painting projects recently. The one I have lined up that I'll start later this week is for our mutual friend Zylan from 3D Wargaming.
Mm-hmm.
So he's launching a new line. So I have to paint some of his samples. And they're fun to paint in there. He mostly do historical stuff, which I don't usually paint, so it's always a different. And it's big vehicles, so that's also something I don't paint for myself, being mostly a skirmish, small, little count player. So that gets me to work more with the airbrush and pigments and all kind of hobby that I don't really have an opportunity to do with my other games. So it's fun. Else, I had a small conversion I was working on last week that's done. The Frankenstein Monster by Beerheads Mini that I was converting for Dracula's America. That one is done. And the other one is a ball token for a tournament. So I'm working on that too. For a Guild Ball tournament. So, one conversion, one small sculpting project, and a pretty big painting project coming up. The only other thing I've been doing is, while I'm sculpting the ball token, the extra pretty goes onto my bases for Guild Ball and my butchers. The first six I had came with the base inserts when I got them from Steamforge. And
they made base inserts?
They had one during the Kickstarter. There's only one kind of the rock slate that I have. And before I think they sold some for a while. They might even still do them, I'm not sure. But I had putty, so usually I do mine. But I've done a couple of those now, I think, two or three. But I've painted truffles in the last month, and it's still sticking on its cork because I didn't have a base, so I started to work on that, and I'm doing all the five bases I'm missing to finish all my butchers. So at least, even if the models are not painted, the base will be ready when I start painting them.
Makes sense. Trying to get try to get ahead a little bit and be prepared. Eh?
Yeah, and also make sure you have a similar style.
Yes, that would also be good. Otherwise, it might look kind of funny.
Yeah, the last one I painted for when I did the brisket meat hook, the painting didn't match the other ones. It's not so bad. It's rock and dirt, so it doesn't show that much once you add tough and the model. But when you know where to look, it does show that. Oh, that was not painted at the same time. So I'll do all those five at the same time once they're finished coating. So they will just be missing the models to gun them. Eventually.
That's funny. The whoops. I have to say, I didn't really notice when I looked at the model, but I didn't really look at your different generations of butchers next to each other.
Yeah, you really need to look at them one side by side, because outside of that, it doesn't really show.
And really, how many people are going to do that?
They won't, but...
but you know.
Yeah, I know. So...
I understand.
Yeah, and I don't mind mixing paint, which is also why they are so different, because I never stick to a single paint to do one effect. So I was able to mostly correct it or get it close. It's clearly not exact, but it's getting there. So,
but it's exact enough?
No, it's not exact at all, but it doesn't show that much. Once you add the dirt and the tough, it's such a small part of the model, and not an important part being the base. It looks good on itself, on its own. So
that's all that matters.
It's fine. And that's about it. No, I didn't touch a brush. And I've been, I mentioned Inktober, so I've been still drying. The weekend was rough. Like, I've been, during the week, it was fine with my commute time. I have the time to think about what to draw and do sketches. But with the weekend, with the kids and all the activities, I've been finding it harder. So we'll see how the rest of the month go. But
as I say, I hadn't really seen anything this weekend. Did you not do anything?
Oh yeah, I posted yesterday and you again. Saturday, but 2 days has not been done yet. So I'll have to do that after we finish recording.
Wow, no pressure.
Yeah. this one might have to wait until tomorrow.
Yeah, just do a 2-for-1 special tomorrow, Antoine.
Yeah, maybe. That's possible.
Don't kill yourself.
Yeah. Also, I've tried to add the team of doing a stuffed animal as an added team on top of the prompts that are suggested. But for the weekends, two choice, it didn't really fit, so I did random drawings, random other stuff.
Oh, what were the...
Oh, okay. For the weekend, the Saturday prompt was
drooling. Was it poisonous?
No, that was the first one on Monday.
Monday's was poisonous? Oh, okay.
Yeah. But for Saturday, the first Monday, so last week.
Yeah.
This weekend, I had to do drooling, and... Drooling on a stuffed animal kind of doesn't work.
Well, because they don't have saliva?
Yeah. I could add it, but it would look strange. So I just made a close-up of Bunny's face where he's drooling.
Oh, the carrots! The carrots
in his eyes. But I filled the rest of the eyes in black, and he looks creepy.
Yeah, but I still like it.
Yeah. It was really more cartoon, not stuffed animal-like, so a different style. I don't think did something like that. And the other one was exhausted, and I did that one before going to bed, the evening, that after midnight. So it was on that day. And I just went from memory and tried to do something without a reference object. So I just draw a can of energy drink, a custom energy drink, but I tried to have the the right perspective for the angles and the shot and try to have it look like a can. And I think it was pretty good. My perspective was different at the top and the bottom, and it does bug me a bit, but that's what happened when you draw when it's too late.
I wouldn't know. I couldn't draw to save my life.
The thing I've found doing those drawings is my base drawings, I really don't like them. Like when I just do the inking out for the outside and just the main parts of the model, I don't have a steady end, and I don't have nice lines. They're not smooth. I paint with just a regular pen. I don't have the like an inking pen with the which you can change the width of the lines depending on how much pressure you apply. So right. It's they don't look that good, but when I continue working on them and add the add all the shadows there, then it looks better. So
well, I found most of them look quite nice.
Yeah, I'm happy with the final results, but I couldn't leave them at just the line, original line without shadows. I don't like them when they're at that step. And I've seen drawing that I like with that style, with a more simple style, but I can't produce something like that right now.
Yeah, I've been following you, and I've been following Mike Cousins.
Yeah. He's doing his Myconid, his mushroom people.
Myconid?
Myconid, maybe.
If Myconid is like robots.
Okay. Yeah, wrong pronunciation on my part.
They're the mushroom people. I really like a lot of his concepts, I won't lie.
Yeah.
So if he launches a line of mushroom people.
But you've seen probably him working on the, he's kind of a shaman one, he's been sculpting one in the like past couple of weeks.
They had to redo the staff and stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It looks good.
Yeah, he's cool. I'll link to his page in the show notes so people can see it.
He is super talented. He has a really cool stream. He's been painting comic book style, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
And right now he's working on Privateer Press.
Monster Apocalypse.
The Defender X.
Yep.
And he's done like
the Gorgodra, the Planet Eater one.
Yeah. And they look awesome. I see that style and I'm like, man, why do I have to suck so bad?
You don't suck so bad. Stop that.
Well, I mean, I couldn't do that. It's, and it's fine.
You teach how to do it. You did a video about that, so I'm sure you could try it. It's not like you were sure you couldn't paint chibis and your chibis look good after trying, so.
The problem is I just don't have the art. I've had the discussion with you before, right? So I don't, like, I wouldn't know.
Where to draw the lines and
where
stuff
to
like
draw
that.
The lines. That's not that I couldn't draw the lines. The technique is not.
Yeah.
The complication of the technique, like what makes it, challenging is not drawing the lines. It's knowing where to put them and how to do it, right?
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. I would have probably the same problem.
And to convert that 2D style into a 3D object.
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't even do it in 2D. So then to try to take it to 3D, heaven help us all. I might give it a go, just for the sheer silliness of it. I just don't know which model I would like to sacrifice to that project. Because, it ain't going to be pretty. And I don't necessarily want to give up a model that I want to use.
I think some of the models you own that would lend themselves well to that might be the Relic Knight stuff. You don't have much detail on them anyway, so adding them by doing lines like that just probably makes them better.
Well, maybe the Cersei Speed Circuit stuff or something. I can see that.
Yeah, because you have a second faction anyway. So.
The, out of curiosity.
Don't you have Corsair as a second faction?
Yes, I was actually thinking Corsairs, and I said Cersei Speed Circuit.
Yeah.
I don't know why. You had Cersei Speed Circuit.
Yeah, me and Daniel also has them.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Another great example of our gamer ADD. We're talking about all kinds of different games we have models for that I could, you know, practically throw away for a painting test. Anyway, yeah, so that could be a cool idea, using the Corsairs for that style. And actually, they do have reference illustrations, right? So I could try I could start by trying to copy one of the 2D images.
Yeah, yeah. And they're painted anime, well, painted the... They are illustrated anime style, so it would be pretty easier to extrapolate from that.
Uh-huh.
That would be a good source of a model to try it.
Yeah. I like the way you think, Antoine. I like the way you think.
Apart from that, the only games I had were the kill teams I played with Yom that we already mentioned. So I was able to try kill team again last weekend. We had two games. I was still playing my Admech. He was playing his Tyranids. I must say, I really don't like facing Tyranids in 40k, but in Kill Team, the giant Griblies are not there. Sure, the Terran Warrior are big and strong, and the Lictor too, for the Kill Team format. And I pretty most of that hatred goes back to Fort
Second
Ed.
Edition?
No, or? Fort Ed, when they had different rules than all the other vehicles. Like, you couldn't kill a giant bug in a single turn while most vehicles exploded just looking at them and stuff like that. So
yeah, because the giant bugs were much stronger than the vehicles, that's true.
Yeah, but now that I haven't played enough 8th edition, played, what, 2 games, so that wasn't enough to get a real feeling of them. And in Kill Team, they were fun. Yom went his usual self and add
a bajillion,
less model and more big guys.
Oh, really? I thought he did the other thing at first. Okay.
No. He had some small Griblies in the first game, but not many. He didn't swarm. Like, we were playing 60 points, and the Ormegans and Thormegans are 4 points each, and he only had 3. So that was not swarming for sure.
No, for sure. For sure.
I had just one model less than him, I think, and my guys cost at least double. So that gives you an idea that he went for the bigger guys in the crew. But it was fun. We were able to play another of the scenarios, and it just really pushed me to start looking at my other 40k extras that are still in boxes here, and try to think what could be fun as a different kill team. I have a different feeling than the mostly shooting that comes from the Admech. So eventually, when those commissions will be done, it will be a tough fight between finishing my Guild Ball and doing a new kill team. Especially that I know I can produce the 40k miniatures quite fast compared to painting one of my butcher.
Yeah, well, that's probably true.
Well, the 8 Admex took 4 days, and I meat hook took about a week and a half. So
yeah, there's a different standard there too.
Yeah, but the
plus the Admex, let's be honest, for speed painting stuff, they're a good team.
Mm-hmm. It's not like I chipped on detail. I did. There's a bunch of stuff.
No, you got OSL. No, your models are gorgeous, Antoine. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to imply that you'd painted something crappily to get
them
fast.
Oh, no, that's not not what I meant. But there was quite a lot of steps on them, but there's less layering and blending, and that's where most of the time goes on those butchers.
The other thing is there's less individuality too.
Oh, yeah,
so
for sure.
So you're painting a bunch of models pretty much the same way every time.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's painting in not line, but
painting by numbers? I wouldn't say that.
No, not numbers, but projection line.
Yeah, assembly line, yeah.
Assembly line, yeah.
Yeah, in a lot of ways it totally is.
But so that's it for my last week in Abbey.
Okay. Sorry, I'm a little distracted. I'm kind of cursing myself.
About minks?
Yeah, well, when you do stupid stuff.
So
you know what they used to always say, paint from the inside out when you paint?
Yes. You do that?
Yes. No. No, I did not. So now I have the joy of trying to get little tiny brushes into little small spaces to paint flesh under all the other stuff I've already painted.
Yeah.
It's,
that's not fun.
This is just another example of why I'm an idiot. I'm a lovable idiot, but I'm still an idiot. So we have anything web-related, cool stuff, news stuff we want to talk about before we go into our ADD topic?
Yeah, sure. There's more stuff for your ADD right now.
Oh, stop it, you. Well, bad Antoine.
Your was the generic yours, not you, you, Paul.
Oh, but yeah, but you
or
know.
Or maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
There's so much cool stuff out. We're not mentioning everything, that's for sure. Three things that stood out for me this week. There's Fireforge game Forgotten World Kickstarter that's going on right now. I really like Fireforge. They do usually historic plastic kits for historical, medieval kind of time frame. But now they are doing two generic armies in full plastic, hard plastic sprues. One, what they call the Norton people, Nortmans, and the other ones are Undeads. And they have different troopers on foot, different with either melee or missile weapon and cavalry, and that's for both armies. And they also have some terrain. So, and they look good, like everything they do. Multi-part, the multi-pose, posable. They're fine. They really look cool.
There's a lot of good plastic out there now.
Yeah.
Compared to even 5 years ago.
Oh, yeah. That,
we see that's a lot big more. Difference.
Yeah, those would do pretty good Bretonians. Or Bretonian equivalent in Night Age, maybe.
I'm sure that was never thought of.
Never.
So is it actual historical or is it more?
No, those are fantasy. Generic. Yeah, but they're doing undead, so it's clearly not historical.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you don't know that.
No, they're generic fantasy. So Nord people. I have quilted armor, but I'm sure that's not that like padded leather. Most of them with some armor on top for arms, legs, and helmets for the humans. And the undead look cool for undead. I'm not an undead guy. I read.
I was gonna say. I know you're not an undead person. So
no, but they look good.
Well, obviously you're not undead. But
no, clearly I am not personally. But I'm not into undead miniatures. That's something that attracts me. So, but they look good for undead. And they have a lot of options for air kits.
Like I said, we're seeing more and more fantastic plastics.
So there's that. It's ongoing. By the time of release for this show, there will be about a week left to go. They are not fully funded yet, but they are getting close to. So it should be by the time either we release or by the end of the campaign. Hopefully for them. So they do nice products, so I would be happy for them to have it out. The second one, that's one I already got you with the ADD part of it by Antimatter Games. They are running a Kickstarter for the Stygian Depth.
Oh, is that an expansion for
Deep War and Shadow Sea? Yeah, so it's a multi-part campaign. So the main point, the Stygian Depths, is kind of a dungeon crawl variant for Shadow Sea that can be played either, well, mainly solo or co-op. There's AI cards to play it, either the monsters, regular monsters, or the big boss. They're producing a card for the rooms and the corridors and everything with the special effects for terrain or underwater.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, but it can also be played as a versus. You create your map and you fight for the guy who can bring out as much loot as he can and survive the encounters. Not only fighting the open, but fighting all the monsters that live in the lair. In the same Kickstarter, they are also doing two player starters, one for Shadow Sea and one for Deep Wars. So it's three models for each of those four factions. So two for Shadow Sea and two for Deep Wars. And lastly, they are doing a small campaign, Grace Flynn, Tides of Forever. So this is an adventure in Shadow Sea. So it's also a solo campaign or a multiplayer campaign if you want. And they will have their own minis. So that's four parts into that Kickstarter. So it's a pretty sizable endeavor.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
It's nice to see that they're doing stuff because it means that, you know, things are going well enough for them that they're continuing to develop. They haven't given up hope.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a tough industry.
Oh, for sure.
Look, I imagine any niche industry is tough. But it seems lately there's just so much competition in miniatures.
And there's niche into niche. Like, Deep War and Shadow Sea are pretty niche themselves.
Yeah, they're niche products in a niche industry. Yeah. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. But, look cool. I mostly like Deep Wars, but Shadow Sea always interested me too, just by concept. So,
you know, those models might lend themselves to comic book painting style.
Yeah, yeah, too. Yeah, the Deep Wars mech with all the R. Oh, yeah.
You hear that, Mike? If you're listening.
I don't think he needs more.
Show me what you got, Mike. Make me proud.
You already have the pretty more Relic Blade to paint with that style, too. So.
Oh, that's true. The Relic Blade. I think it was one of the first things he did.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, so this Kickstarter is already past their main goal. So they are underway to our funding, and by the time of our release, they will have just over 2 weeks left to go. So right now they are unlocking skulls for the boss and monsters that come into the basic dungeon. The dungeon itself will come with cardboard standees or cardboard miniature you can create, but they are unlocking sculptings for them as the project goes, because the initial funding is pretty low, so that's a lot of stuff to sculpt if they were going with for it. So I understand that perfectly.
Yeah, it's nice to see people doing it smart. I mean, we see far too many Kickstarters for miniature games, like that are practically unknown, without even an existing product line previously, looking for, you know, 150K, 200K, or whatever crazy amount.
Yeah.
And then, you know, people get upset when they can't hit their target. I'm like, well, you know, that doesn't work that way. Like, your product might be fantastic, you might think it's fantastic, but you got to make it attainable enough that people are willing to risk it. Because if you see a too high a number on Kickstarter on unknown product, you're not even going to commit.
No.
Why bother? Right?
Yeah. But it's also strange because your money is at no risk if they don't found. So it doesn't help people get there. It's a conundrum right now on Kickstarter, because if it doesn't fund, you won't help them, but by not helping them, you're making them not fund. So.
Well, except the thing is, maybe you have to make a choice. I either back that Kickstarter, or I buy these other models from this other company that I want to buy, or I invest in this other game.
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure.
Right? So then you're like, well, they're probably not going to fund, so And I can get these models now, so I'll instant gratification as opposed to hoping that something funds and comes out in 2 years.
Yeah, but if the Kickstarter was already past its funding goal, some people would pledge, so...
Yeah, because then they just feel that...
But they don't get the minis right away either, so...
No, but at least they feel there's enough interest that, you know, people are going to play it and that, you know, it's worthwhile investing in.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's kind of a catch-22.
Yep. So, anyway. And the third item I wanted to mention is Mintic have ran a Kickstarter for Vanguard, their skirmish fantasy game ruleset. And they are now having the free PDF for it out. So it released today at the time of the recording. It's a partial rule set, so the rules themselves are all there, but they don't include all the scenarios and all the add-on stuff.
The like unit profiles and stuff?
Yeah. I don't know if all the unit profiles are there or not. I think they are not all there, but they are not all there in the full book either. I think they're doing base because that's too much stuff to balance. They have too many factions now. But what is not there, they don't have all the extra spells, not all the scenarios. I think some of the magic items are not there either. Stuff like that. And there's three PDF. One for the rule set themselves. One for the list. And the last one is kind of a... How did they write it already? I think it's just the a summary sheet, kind of a cheat sheet to be able to play it. A rundown of the generic abilities and phases and stuff like that. So that's when I've not looked at it that much during the Kickstarter, but it was interesting, and the comments I've heard about it are good. So for maybe a miniature, almost agnostic rule set for fantasy gaming, that might be worth a look. I'll for sure download it and at least skim through it.
I'll wait for you to finish vetting it before I bother.
But that's it. That's what I had to say about it. So it's available. We'll link to it in the show notes as usual.
You know, I think that discussion we just had is a very good example of gamer ADD. Well, I mean, how many games did we just talk about? And we're like, yeah, that looks interesting. Gonna have to try that. Oh, yeah, that looks interesting. Gonna have to play that. Oh, yeah, that looks interesting. Gonna have to read that and see and then maybe try it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. And I truly wonder why we do that to ourselves.
Well, let's launch right into that. Gamer ADD. Why are we doing that to ourselves? And is it a problem? I've never hidden the fact that I like to read games and look at miniatures. And even if I'm not going to play them, I like reading rule set. I like exploring teams, seeing miniatures. And I'm mainly... on the hobby side now, with how much time I have to pass at home compared to time I can play, I can't invest in a single game because I won't be able to get good or tournament level into it. So,
well, let's face it, nor would you really want to. That's not really your goal anymore.
Not anymore. And I like diversity too much anyway. So I like miniatures by themselves. Like, I see myself as a really game gamer. Not a single game, but just I like games in general. I like miniatures in general. So one of the things I like about this hobby is the diversity and the fact that you can see so many different things. So I wouldn't want it differently. When I look back at when I started playing, we were only playing fantasy and after that a bit of 40k. And it didn't take me that long to start looking at other stuff like our first club. We tried Chronopia. we didn't even have the minis, and we were proxying with other miniatures we had. And there was confrontation after that, and it just kept growing and growing and growing. So I've never really limited myself to a single game. And I've never seen that as a problem either. Sure, I can concentrate on one, and I can all get them out to play in the same time period, but it doesn't bug me. I like having them and having them access to them when I want to play, because my mood also changes. I might want to play some small scale stuff 1 month, but in the Guild Baldinex, or it changed, and it's not a problem for me. Sure, it might be a problem cash wise or finding opponents, but I don't mind if there's a big active scene. So I've heard some comments about people not wanting to get into a game if there's not a tournament scene for it. But that's not what I am into.
Yeah, so you're not really looking for that anymore.
Nope.
You just want to sucker as poor people into playing against you.
Ah.
It's okay, Antoine. It's okay.
And that, not even that. There's a bunch of games that none of you guys, the other three guys we have in the group for the podcast, some of the games I play, none of you do play.
Yeah, but that's not that many. Let's be honest there. Mm. You know, okay, Dracula's America. Okay, I'll give you that one.
Yeah, Aristia, I've played it a bit. I want to play it more. Saga, none of you guys is playing that.
Well, in fairness, when was the last time you played Saga?
War Master, last year. But when was the last time I played Drop Zone? That's 2 years ago, at least.
Yeah.
War Master, nobody, you mentioned maybe looking into it a couple of times, but that's not happened.
It's happened. It's just trying to figure out what I want to play and finding it. Yeah, those models aren't exactly falling from the sky.
Yeah, there's Pulp City. Yom got some. You were in talk to get some too, but still. So there's many of those games.
That's true. So as I said earlier, you are the source of all our problems.
Do you see it as a problem?
No, not really. I am. I see it only as a problem as it aggravates my pre-existing condition. I have a problem. And that is, I get caught up in a concept that I find to be cool. And then that tends to dominate everything I'm doing until I've satisfied that kind of pre-established idea in my head. So I might turn around tomorrow and decide, you know, oh, Aristea looks cool. I like this one model. Now I have to paint that model. Well, if I have to paint that model, then I have to paint a team, because I might as well paint a team so I can play the game, so I can use that model I like. And then, you know, heaven forbid the game actually turns out to be good, because then it's like, well, maybe I should try another team, and maybe I should try to do something else. And that, you know, continues until I find something else that piques my interest, whether it's something new or something old, right? You were playing Kill Team. I haven't played 40K in over a year. And all of a sudden, I'm talking about buying more knights and doing all kinds of stuff for a game I don't even play. And I'm not likely to ever play, at least not at that size, where I need another two or three knights. Yeah? Yep. But it's like, it's an excuse to buy the models. A poor excuse, mind you. It's an excuse all the same. You know, I find it very hard to resist games when you guys start getting involved in them. Probably because you're my main source of games. And I want to make sure that whatever you're playing, I have something to participate with, you know? But it just compounds my pre-existing condition.
Almost looks like a sickness when you talk about it that way.
Well, it almost is a sickness when I when it comes to me. You know, it, in fact, it is kind of, it becomes near obsession with me. So.
Oh, I understand that perfectly.
So in that regard, it is a sickness, right? It's, you know, when it starts losing, you know, causing me to lose sleep at night because I'm trying to, you know, figure out, you know, what models I want to play and what I want to paint them, and I need to do paint tests and I need to do this and that, and now that is not normal behavior over a game.
Well, it's a hobby, and it's a really large spanning hobby. Like, we're people having that about their other hobbies too. So, is it really that different? Sure, you're thinking about the little army men instead of cars or golf or sport or whatever. But
yeah, I was at sorry, just along your point. I was at someone's house yesterday, a new acquaintance of mine. They were talking about some computer trouble, and I walked into their basement, and they were a model railroader.
Mm-hmm.
And they had this giant setup that sprawls the whole basement, 5 tracks, all kinds of things. He only does steam engines from a certain time period.
Yeah.
You know, he's got all these conditions to kind of rein in his hobby.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it occupies his whole basement, and it's not a small home. You know, this basement was probably, you know, 30 by 20, and it's just full. And to the point where in the middle of the railroad tracks, he has a painting / soldering workstation.
In the middle.
His desk, he also has a computer down there. His desk is actually the top of a table saw, like the saw blade sticking out and everything.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm braver than I am. he's an elderly gentleman, and he still has all his fingers, so I guess he's okay.
At least.
Yeah, it made me laugh. It's like, oh, this is going to be me in, you know, 30 years. It's like I have a sneak preview.
It's almost all of us right now. It's just space being a premium because of kids and kids stuff. That's the only reason I'm not taking the old basement right now. But I had the old basement at my previous house before we had the kids. So now there's a room for them.
Sacrifices had to be made, Antoine.
Yeah.
Sacrifices had to be made. Yeah, I don't know. I won't lie. I often wonder if I would have been better off if I'd never started this hobby in some ways.
The whole hobby? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because Gamer ADD comes with a price tag, right? And if you're obsessive about it and you lack good self-control, that price tag is not small.
Sure. But the price tag for other hobbies is not small either.
That's true. I used to play paintball.
Yeah.
Semi-competitively in speedball. So, yeah, I get that. I mean, that was, you know, $500-$600 a weekend. Easy. So, I get that other hobbies are expensive. I suppose it's the same for people who are, like, musicians and stuff. You know, people who own multiple guitars or whatever. Good guitars aren't given away. So I guess it's the same with everything.
You just change the name of the drug, but it's always there.
I don't know. I think most drugs would be cheaper sometimes.
Maybe. Maybe.
You know, I hear meth is pretty cheap to produce. Assuming you don't blow yourself up.
Yeah, but we're also two examples of it. So talking about it, what might have been interesting if we had a mono gamer?
I guess the closest thing we have to that is really Steve in our group.
Yeah, in our group.
He's not truly a mono gamer,
no.
But he doesn't go crazy like we do. He does have, you know, aside from his Guild Ball, multiple factions, he does own a Hordes army, and he's got Still a few fantasy armies left, because that was his previous passion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some Riddick Knights, too.
Well, okay.
Well, I played with him. I never played with you, so.
Oh, he's actually played the game?
Yeah, yeah. We played version 1 and some version 1.5. So I've played more than once with Steve.
Oh, I had no idea. I didn't think he'd ever actually played the game.
Yeah, yeah.
My bad. That Kickstarter was so cheap, though.
Yeah. And the renders were so crisp.
What are you trying to say, Anthony?
Nothing.
You're sounding kind of passive-aggressive.
Yeah, I shouldn't. That's true.
That's my job, damn it.
Confrontation players.
I wasn't even going there. So, shame on you, Antoine Bergeron.
Mm-hmm. Shame on me.
Yeah. Well, we've rambled a fair bit. I don't even know how far into the show are we? Oh, about an hour. That's not so bad. Not so bad.
I think that's fine.
That's fine. You know, we rambled. I don't actually know if we said anything of use, though.
No, of use probably not.
So, aside from confirming the fact that we're both gamer ADD, I don't really know what that what was accomplished during this podcast.
Oh, we have kind of two view from the same side of it. Like, you see it more of as a bad thing. Well, I don't mind. What would be interesting is to know our listeners, with the way we are set up, with Geeks of the Nerd being so multi-game centric, I generally assume that people who listen to us are also polygamer and not mono gamers.
Well, we know Mike is.
Yeah. Yeah. And the few people I know who do listen multiple times, like regularly, they're all
that still freaks me out, by the way.
The few mono gamers I know who listen to specific episodes, with the topics that they find interesting. They usually don't listen to everything. So.
Yeah. Well, they're really never going to listen now.
Yeah.
The new chit-chat format probably will not appeal to them.
Nope, probably not.
And that's okay. Yep. Each their own.
Exactly. So, for the people who do listen, let us know. Are you polygamers? Are you single games players?
Monogamer?
Why? Yeah, monogamer, polygamer. And why?
Maybe they're reformed polygamers.
Maybe. Or just recent converts.
It could go either way. This is true.
Yeah.
This is true.
So let us know. And with that, I think that's a show, Paul.
All right. Well, I'll catch you next week, Antoine.
Bye, geeks.
Thanks for listening to Geeks of the North. If you want to contact us, you can email us at geeksofthenorth@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geeksofthenorth, or follow us on Twitter at geeksofthenorth. You can follow me, Paul, at PRFilio, Antoine at Eltonio Berg, Steve at B_Steve, and if you really feel the need, I guess you can follow Yom. He's at Yomasta. Breaks and outro music by LaDrave. You can listen to them at ladrave.bandcamp.com. See you next time, geeks.
Thank you for checking out United Geeks Network Family Member. If you enjoyed it and are looking for other online media with a geek culture slant, head over to UnitedGeeksNetwork.com, where you will find the Gaming Careers Podcast, the resource for people looking to find their fit in the gaming industry. You will hear game industry professionals talk about how they succeed in today's competitive environment and how you can do the same. The United Geeks Network. You can broadcast your geekiness at UnitedGeeksNetwork.com.